Sometimes we have the sense that maybe Jesus is just a little out of touch. He really seems to expect quite a bit. How do you love your enemy? And I guess what we need to do is understand a few things first. The first thing is that we are all children of the same Father. God is the Father of us all. He said, I don't want you to hate anybody. You know, when we hate somebody, essentially what we are doing is we're trying to call down harm on them in some way, shape, or form. And if we hate somebody, for whatever reason it may be, it's like they have hold of us. We are not free. It's like we are so obsessed with somehow getting revenge, getting even, making things right, at least in our minds, that we can't let go of it. As a consequence, whatever the hurt or the rejection or whatever it may have been is always with us. We never get rid of it. You know, several years ago, maybe not that many, remember there's an Amish school where somebody came, a man came in and just shot, like, what was it, 21 children? Little children. I mean, they're just beginning their lives. And for whatever reason he had, which nobody seems to know, he went in and killed those children. What absolutely astounded me is that that community, that Amish community, religious community, was able to go to say publicly, "We forgive him." I mean, they just lost those children. And yet they were able to say, "We forgive him." And at the time, remember, somebody was collecting money for that community to help them take care of all the needs and expenses that they had. And they took half of that money to the widow of the killer and shared it with her and her family. Now, can you imagine if a terrible tragedy like that hit any one of us, how would we react? It's a good question. Hopefully we never have to face anything like that. But just think about that. But this community so believed in what their God said to them that they were willing to say, "We forgive him." And not only that, to go beyond that to help his wife carry on with her family. We forget St. Paul reminds us we are the temple of God. And the temple of God is holy. It's not something that we earn. We don't earn holiness. I mean, we can do all kinds of things, like during Lent coming up pretty soon, we do penance, we do prayers, extra prayers, we sacrifice things and all of that, but those things don't make us holy. Only God is holy. And we are holy because God dwells in us. And what that means is that we are supposed to reflect that holiness of God in what we say and what we do and how we live and how we act. And then the scriptures kind of make it clear to us that the way we live out that holiness is by doing what Jesus did. He forgave the sinner. He didn't hold grudges. Even when they were crucifying, mocking him, beating him up in the worst possible way, his response was, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them." He's trying to free us from those things that hold us down. And the things that hold us down are the need for revenge, the need for hatred, the need to get even, the need to somehow or another let that person or persons know that we do not love them. We don't maybe say publicly that we wish evil to them, but we somehow or another don't want them connected with the rest of the human race. So Jesus says to us, if you truly love somebody, I'm not talking about the sentimental, emotional type of love. We're talking about a love that genuinely cares about the good of the other. That's what Christ expects us to give and do for other people, just as he did for us. So if we are going to reflect the holiness of God in our lives, which we are called to do, we're expected to do, not perfectly, but to do it to the best of our abilities. If we're called to do that, what he says is, you must love one another with a genuine love, which is that you want good for that person. You seek the good of every person. Now, say, in time of war, you say, well, how do you not hate your enemy? How can you shoot your enemy if you love him? It's a very good question. It probably tells us something about war that we all need to think about once in a while. Or say if somebody commits a crime against you or someone in your family or somebody dear to you, the first thing we want to do is we want to get even. We want them to suffer the worst penalty of the law that they possibly can. And if the law doesn't do it, then we want to take care of it ourselves. And if it never happens, or even if it does happen, what does it gain for us? We may have a sense that somehow or another, the sin has been atoned for. But if all we have done is brought hatred or an anger against that person or persons, what has it done for us? What have I reflected as a temple of God? Can I really say that I am holy because God dwells in me and then spew out hatred or revenge or whatever it may be? So God says essentially what being holy is loving, and loving all mankind. It's not always easy to do. We all know that. It's not easy to forgive, but it is possible. It may take a long time, but you can't wish evil on your enemy. Our Lord says, pray for them. Seek good for them. Turn the other cheek. And for us, that seems so contrary to common sense. But frequently, the culture of our day is in conflict with the culture of God. So who do we choose to follow? Christ says to us, if you want peace, then you live a life of peace. There's a story of a bishop who lived and worked in a country, I think it was in Central or South America. I don't remember exactly where. But anyway, the story is about him is that he had conflict not only with fellow bishops, he had conflict with the politicians, he had conflict with everybody. But what he was doing is fighting for the rights of people. So somebody said to him one day, after all of this conflict had been resolved, he said, how many enemies do you think you really have? And he said, I have none. I have no enemies. So they kept saying to him, well, all this conflict, all the trouble they've created for you, all the problems and the rejection and all this stuff that you had to deal with, you certainly must have some enemies, people that you would like to just really get back at. And he said, I have no enemies. He said, I have people who like to do hurtful things to me, but I pray for them. I pray for their good. I can truly say before God, I have no enemies. So we think about, say, the terrorist attacks that people are senselessly killed. It just doesn't make any sense to us. And our tendency is to look at and reject and categorize and hate and want revenge. And what does it do? All it does is create more conflict. It creates more hatred. It creates more killing. It creates more death. So Christ has, he says to us, I'm trying to show you a way of life. A way of life that is, can be peaceful. It can make the whole world better. It can calm things down when everything else is in turmoil. And it simply is this: do good to those who harm you. Don't hate anybody. Don't wish evil to anybody. But seek always the good for the other. Pray for the good of the other. And if we can do that, then we would truly be that temple, the shining presence of the holiness of God in our world. And we all know our world needs that. Now I want to talk just briefly about the annual bishop's appeal, our Catholic appeal. As you know, as I introduced last week or a couple weeks ago now, each parish in the diocese is given a goal to accomplish. And it's supposed to be divvied out proportionately to the size and ability to pay and other responsibilities. Somehow there's a big formula that I don't know much about. But anyway, it's supposed to kind of equal for whatever the parish size is and all that kind of stuff. Well, the parish Resurrection is no longer considered a small parish. It's now considered a large parish because of the enrollment. So the assessment that the bishop has given us this year is $155,000. It's a lot of money. But he feels that we are capable of paying that. And the one thing we need to understand is just not a nice thing for us to give to this. It really is kind of a responsibility we have as a parish community to the Diocese of Orlando, of which we are a part. And as a larger parish, we are a larger part. And so what he asked us to do is that we give, that everybody in the parish contribute according to their means. Now I understand that this obligation can be paid over a period of 10 months. So if you make a big pledge and or a small pledge and want to pay it over a period of time, that's all possibility. What we do want to do is thank those who have already participated, either by mailing back the mailing you got from the diocese, or your pledge last week, or the ones that are still working on it, maybe you have it with you today. But we really need the work and the participation of all the parish. It's in that way that we can meet that obligation. Otherwise, it's going to have to be taken out of the regular income of the parish, which right now I don't think the parish can afford to do. So if you can just think about that today, maybe if you don't have an envelope or haven't made a pledge yet, to very seriously think about and pray about that, to do your part so that Resurrection can meet its responsibility to the Diocese of Orlando and proudly carry on the good work that goes on in your parish. So thank you for you, those who have participated already, and for those who have not, please consider doing something about that today or sometime in the near future. Thank you.